requires a faith that cannot be shaken. It's not easy to follow Jesus. It's not. He never promised it would be easy. But let me guarantee you, it is what we're called to do. The Bible's full of examples of men and women who trusted in the faithfulness of God, even when it wasn't easy. And we call them heroes of the faith. This week is week number 3 of our series, Faith Explored. In this series, we're going to go through some stories of the Bible where God's people had to step out in faith and trust God to guide and take care of them. This series will show that if you want to see the power of God, you have to be willing to step out in faith and follow God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely or diligently seek him." It's impossible to please God without faith. Church, if you want to see God's power, you have to be willing to step out. If you want to see the power of God in your life, then you have to be willing to get out of the boat. When you feel like you're sinking because of the waves of life and everything in life feels out of control, Jesus wants to help you. He wants to reach down and he wants to rescue you. Today is the day to take your eyes off the circumstances and place them on Jesus Christ. Today you can have faith over your fear. Amen. Amen. Anybody ready? Yes. Say hallelujah if you're ready.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Hallelujah. We've been taking a look at some of the characters in the Bible that displayed incredible faith in God. They saw God do amazing things. Because they were willing to step out in trust and step out in obedience. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of the crowd. I want to be front and center. I want to be front row when God does something amazing. I don't want one foot in and one foot out. I want to jump all in to what God is doing. I don't know what he's doing, but I want to be a part of it. I want to follow him. So I got to step out in faith. Last week we looked at the Israelite people crossing the River Jordan into the promised land. That was a good week last week. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I hope you read your word before today. If I'm the only one feeding you, you're only getting baby food. Pastor, feed me. Come on. Man, you got to eat on your own. Read your word. Read your word. Man, I don't know why my faith is so down and out. Because you never read your word. And maybe you need to read it out loud, because faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. So read it out loud.
Yeah.
Hear yourself. So last week we looked at the Israelite people and they're crossing the River Jordan into the promised land. In the book of Joshua, we saw that their unique faith was displayed by being willing to step out into the water before they saw their miracle. Faith oftentimes requires a first step. God, do something. He's like, you didn't even move. God, change my life. You didn't even get up. God, I need to move forward. You are still sitting down. Take a step and then see what I will do. This week we're going to look at another angle of faith that is present in scriptures. It's the interplay between faith and fear. Over the past few years, the church has become well acquainted with navigating these two extremes, faith and fear. Many of us right now in this very room and online or whenever you are watching this, you are struggling with what is happening in the world right now and as we see the world as it stands. Although it is prophesied this would happen, it doesn't mean it's not scary. There's a lot of questions. And it seems like unanswered prayers for many of us are becoming more normal as of late. Evil is not only in the open, but it's celebrated and it's idolized. We even give a month to it. That's just part of it. Division, hatred, and overrun corruption is all around us for all eyes to see, even at the youngest, most vulnerable eyes. They are seeing it and they're celebrating it and they are idolizing it and they're saying and they're calling it normal. They're calling evil right. And that's been prophesied. But man, we've walked through some things in the last few years. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
A global pandemic, increased violence, racial and political divide, woke agendas, and a global financial crisis. And many people are gripped with fear. Some have even been tempted to abandon their faith so they can embrace fear. But church, faith paralyzes us. And it keeps us from being the hands and feet of Christ in this lost and broken world. As we explore faith today, we're going to learn the key to holding on to our faith as we face our fear. Life's not easy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's not easy. And if we let it, life can overwhelm us with fear. Anyone can be afraid of anything. Personally, I'm afraid of just a couple things. Let me tell you what they are. Snakes. No, I ain't afraid of snow. It's just mean. White demon. Snakes. Snake just come. Oh, I mean, it's weird. Isn't that weird, though? A spider, I'm like, man, I would even smoosh it with my hand. I'm not afraid at all of any spider. Maybe a tarantula, because that's just ridiculous. Why, God, did you create a spider to be so large that's freaky? But I'm a little afraid of snakes, high heights. I'm afraid of failing people. And I'm afraid of needles. You can imagine COVID and all the vaccine and all the shots, and it's like one after the other in commercials, and I'm like, God, have me fast commercials, Lord. Oh. It's like, the way it goes in the body is just disgusting. Ew. Okay, I'm moving on. It's messing me up right now. I even had my ears pierced 3 times when I was younger. I just didn't look. I was just like, okay. Now, sometimes you got to face your fears. Quick story. I actually went and gave plasma when I was a youth pastor. You know, when you're a youth pastor and you leave the secular realm, when we lived in Arkansas here, I took half a pay cut and we wanted to go on vacation. We didn't even have enough money. We could get to vacation, but we couldn't do anything or couldn't eat. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do 2 things. I need money and I need to face a fear. So I went and I gave plasma. And let me tell you, I got some stories to tell. I'm not going to tell them now because we don't have a lot of time. But let me tell you, I hated every moment and every time. All I did is I put in my headphones, I listened to worship music, and I never looked to my left or to my right. Just tell me when it's over. Like,
code 3, hold this one down, right?
But I did it, and I did it for many months, and we had enough. I made like $700 so we could go on vacation. Sometimes you got to face your fear. But does that mean I still like needles? Absolutely, 100% no. I don't. And for those of you that love needles, you're on my prayer list. Hallelujah. Let there be no needles in heaven. Hallelujah. I don't need a shot. I'm made whole. I'm made brand new. God, you're going to give me a new body. And this body is going to, no needles in this body. New body. Hallelujah. But man, when you have an excess fear of something, what happens is you develop a phobia. We're going to put a few of these phobias on the screen right now. And I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, we're going to do a few. Just the phobia, not the answer. Okay, let's go with the first phobia. Pelidophobia. Anybody guess what that means? Oh, okay, good. Okay, awesome. Anybody know what that means? Guess. I know you're scared, but this is going to be fun, so let's just do it. Pelidophobia. What do you think that? You're a fear of what? What? No, don't you say it. What do you think? Food. Okay. People? Pears? Oh, hair. All right, what is it? It's a phobia of fear of baldness and bald people. Don't look around. Do not look around. They're afraid of you, brother. Ah! That's unnatural. Right, baby's coming out. You're like, ah! Come to me when you're two and grow a fro. You freak of nature. Okay, moving on. All right, how do you say that? Hey, who wants to say that and then guess it? What do you think it is? Pastor Mark.
I have no idea.
How do you say it?
I don't know. Shadophobia.
Hey, that sounds good. What do you think it is? It's a fear of what?
Fear of not being bald.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, grow. Hallelujah. Boom. Can I get an amen?
Okay. All right. What is it? The fear of hairy people. That's weird. You watch Star Wars, you're like, ah! Chewbacca, he's the most scary. No, Darth Vader. No, Chewbacca. He's even got hair by his lips and his eyes. Weird. All right, what's the next one? How do you say that? Okay, what do you think it is? It's a fear of what? Fire? That's a good guess. What do you guys think? Anyone else? Photographs? Fire? Fear of being fat? Okay. Not pH, but remember when that was cool? Okay. What is it? Fear of the color purple. Who's that? Who is that? You want something? These are legit, guys. These are real. Ah. Okay, what's the next one? Aurorophobia. What do you think it is? Lights? That's a good question. That's a good guess. Anybody else? Noise? Anyone else? All right, what's the fear of? The Northern Lights. Good job. They're so beautiful. Ah! Then don't live in Canada or Alaska and you're good. Like what? Or Northern Minnesota, right? Just move south. You're good to go. Unless there's people wearing purple. All right. Or hairy people. Yeah. Now, if you move south and you're on the beach, I am fearful of some of those hairy people. All right, moving on. Okay. Sir, take off your sweater. Okay. Odontophobia. What do you think it is? Mouth? Dentist? It's good. Some of you guys. Okay, get off Google. Okay, go ahead. Fear of teeth. I can't imagine those people's teeth. They probably never brush their teeth because it's like, I can't look. Fear of teeth? That's crazy. Baby food for life. Okay. Next one. All right. Graphophobia. What do you think? Graphophobia. Graphs? Maps? Writing? Fighting? I added one. Okay. What is it? Fear of writing in public, so that's why some of you don't take notes at church. Okay. Okay. Awesome. I definitely want when you wear purple with your teeth. Okay, two more. Phobophobia. Sure, yeah, yeah. Well, you guys got lots of people got answers now. We believe in speaking in tongues, but I need a clear answer right now. I don't have an interpretation for what you just said. Fear. Yes. Go ahead. Fear of being afraid. I can't even get my head around that. Fear of being afraid. So I'm afraid of fear. What? Just stop. The number one fear in the United States of America is this. Glossophobia. What do you think that is? Glass? Words? Here it is. Fear of public speaking. 25% of all of America is fearful. That's why I'm going to handpick 10 people in here to finish the sermon. We're going to face your fears today. I'm just joking. Some of you are like, oh, that's no big deal. Some of you said, I will throw up all over if you make me do that. Phobias. I used to be afraid of preaching. I still get nervous every time I preach. Phobia. See, there's many people within the church today who are not living up to their full potential in Christ. Many of them. They don't live generous lives. They don't serve other people. They don't make worship a priority. They just come whenever they want and when they don't want. I want to be in my jammies. I don't want to come to church today. I don't want to be involved. They don't take risks for the sake of Christ either. Why? There's lots of reasons, but here's probably the number one biggest reason. It is because of fear. The fear of what some other people might think. I just want you to think about this. Even my own wife and my children will not stand next to me on Judgment Day. I cannot be afraid of what other people think. Who cares? Right? Honestly, who cares what they think? Because ultimately, in the end, it doesn't matter. And I remember in high school, and I did youth ministry for a long time, three different times, many years. And I remember that high school and junior high, you really care what your peers think. Then all of a sudden, you go off to college or in the workforce, and you think, high school was a joke. I don't even know any of them or even care what they think. And, you know, they're working this dead-end job, and I'm going off in what God has called me to, and I cared that they didn't like my sweater in seventh grade. Like, what? Because it was purple. Well done. Well done. And you have hair. You have hair. Praise God. Quit smiling. I see your teeth. See, people are full of fear because they care what other people might think, or they fear what following Jesus might cost them. And they fear failing God or failing other people. And they also might have a fear of the unknown. They have fear over their faith. But if you want the power of God in your life, then you have to get out of the boat. A disciple who followed Jesus, his name was Peter. He's my favorite disciple. Why? Because he's a loud mouth and he's bold. Yeah, man. I got you, Peter. And Peter learned a huge lesson in a classic story from the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 14, John the Baptist, that was Jesus' cousin, he was beheaded in prison. Then Jesus spent some time in prayer, and then he fed the 5,000. After all that happened, you notice that Jesus' cousin got beheaded and killed. And what did Jesus do? Did he sulk? Did he fall? Did he question God? Did he do nothing and just tell everybody, forget about God, and then go away from everything? No, he spent time in prayer with his Father so he could be strengthened to do the next thing he's called him to do. So he goes and feeds 5,000. And that was just men. It was probably more like 20,000 with women and children involved. After all that happened, Jesus then sent his disciples out on a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee while Jesus went up a mountainside to pray alone. Get in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the first book of the Gospels. What is the Gospels? The Gospels are the stories of Jesus. It's the first four books in your New Testament. If you open your Bible, most of your Bible is the Old Testament. The New Testament is not halfway. You got to go about 7-8 more books before you even get to the New Testament, depending where you open up. But it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to open to Matthew. The big numbers, that's 1-4. That's the chapter. And then the little numbers are verses. The Bible was not written with chapters and verses. It's in there so that way we can follow and know where we're going, instead of open your Bible to somewhere with that one story, with the one thing, and you're like, and it takes forever. So it's just easy for reference. Okay, Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 22. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" Okay, stop right there. The disciples were alone on a boat in the water. Now, the author of this sets up a stage about what's about to happen in this story. There was a storm, and the disciples were in a boat, and they were being tossed by the wind and tossed by the waves. Now, the Greek word used here is basanizo. And what does that mean? It means to be tested, to be tortured, to be distressed. They weren't just a little afraid. The disciples found themselves in a difficult and scary situation. This was a circumstance that was out of their control, and they were struggling in it. Church, life often is outside of our control. Amen? If we like it or not. Every one of us in this room today can point to a time in recent memory where we felt tossed by the waves and the winds of life. There are many things that are often outside of our control we have to deal with. And sometimes they cause our faith to waver. It can leave us feeling vulnerable and exposed, and we can wonder, where is Jesus in the middle of all this? Jesus, where were you in 2020? 2021? 2022? This morning, last week? But the storms of life are unavoidable. The important question is, who do we trust in the middle of them? Okay, so it was dark and it was a stormy night. And the disciples are being tossed around in their tiny boat. Now, many of Jesus' disciples were what? Fishermen. They've been in a storm or two, or 20, or 100. But their immediate response, it doesn't say the fishermen weren't scared, but everyone else was. It says they were all scared and terrified. What does this tell me? This storm was gnarly, and it was dangerous. The Bible says that just before dawn, Jesus came out to them walking on the water. Jesus was demonstrating his power and his control over the elements of the storm. But when the disciples saw him, they were gripped with fear because they thought he was a ghost. Because of fear, the disciples missed that Jesus was right there with them in the middle of the wind and the waves. Because of their fear and their fearful situation, they don't even know who Jesus is. They can't even recognize him. Church, faith is not the absence of fear. You can have both faith and fear at the same time. I pray that sets somebody free today. Put on speaker, they need to hear this. Because they ain't in church and calling somebody in church. Come on now. But to have faith over fear means we trust God fully even when we don't understand the events as they occur as they do. And we need to have faith over fear means we trust God fully even when we don't understand when the events occur when they do. Having faith over fear sees the storms of life and recognizes the fear, but yet still chooses to trust Jesus to pull them through it. All right, back to the story. So the followers of Jesus are in the middle of a huge storm, gripped with fear, and they are crippled right there, but Jesus immediately speaks to them. You don't think Jesus sees where you're at? The words Jesus says here next are echoes of the most repeated command in the Bible. The most repeated command in the Bible. 200 times in Scripture, God tells his people, do not be afraid and take courage. The reason I think that is because faith often requires fear. You hear me on that? To step out in great faith requires going beyond your normality. It requires oftentimes being and going beyond your humanity. And that's a scary thing. Last week we read that God said to Joshua a couple different times, do not be afraid and have courage. This was before the Israelites crossed the flooded Jordan River. Joshua 1:9, just for small reference, this is what it says. This is my command. It's God talking to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Facing uncertainty in a new land and crossing the flooded body of water, God told his people to have courage. Do not be afraid. Not because of the obstacles are going to be eliminated, but because God was going to be with them as they stepped forward in them. The same is true for this passage as well. Jesus told the disciples to take courage in the middle of the storm because he was with them. Let's keep reading. Matthew 14. Pick up in 27, we're going to read through 29. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on water. Woo. Jesus said, yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water toward Jesus. Jesus' most comforting words to his disciples are, I am here. They didn't have to be afraid. Why? Because they weren't alone. This is the beauty of faith. You can have hard and difficult things in your life, but you can still help make a huge difference for the kingdom of God, even though you may still feel afraid. Church, every trial that you go through prepares you for the next battle you have to walk through. God is more concerned with your faithful obedience than he is your fearful circumstance. He knows we can have faith over fear. I'll say it again. I'll say it all again. Every trial that you go through prepares you for the next battle you have to walk through. God is more concerned with your faithful obedience than he is with your fearful circumstance. He knows you can have faith over fear. You got two choices in life, church. Choice number one, you can allow your life to be controlled by fear. Choice number two, you can take control of your fears by living by faith. To have faith over fear, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and on his power rather than our inadequacies and our troubles. Here's the question. Who and what do you fear more? Do you fear God more than what you are facing right now? Or do you fear what you're facing more than what you fear than you fear God right now? The reality is, this side of heaven, many times both faith and fear coexist. The Apostle Peter, he lived in the reality of both in this powerful story. Look at Peter and his response to Jesus' presence right in the middle of his fear. Look what he does. Jesus invites him out of the boat and onto the water during the massive storm. The storm didn't stop yet. It didn't stop yet. Nah, I'm going to step out as soon as it gets a little bit better. Like, this is new. I ain't going to get this dirty and wet. Okay. I don't know how to swim in that kind of faith. Come on now. I think Peter had seen Jesus do so many amazing things throughout their ministry together that he longed to face his fear and get out of the safety of the boat to do what Jesus actually did. Peter feared and trusted Jesus more than he feared and trusted the waves in front of him. Now, I'd argue this, that many of us feel the same way deep down. Deep down, we long to be invited out of the boat of the comfortable life that we're living so we can see God do amazing things. We want to fear Jesus more than we fear the storm. But to see those things take place, you have to be willing to get out of the boat. Amen? Jesus' response to Peter's invitation is this. Come. Look what I'm doing. Come. Come out and onto the water, Peter. And you will see your faith overcome your fear. Church, you can face your fear when you keep your eyes on Jesus. Peter obediently got out of the boat at Jesus' invitation. First he asked, Jesus invited, and then he went. Right before the disciples' eyes, two miracles took place. Both Jesus and Peter were walking on water. Haters. Haters gonna hate. What you listen to that stuff for? It's fine. Because it's everywhere when it happens. See, haters aren't going to hate, right? Doubters are going to doubt and naysayers are going to naysay. They're the fearful ones. And guess what? They stay on the boat. But world changers, faith-filled believers, they choose to get out of the boat. And they do it when Jesus invites them to. Anybody want to know the goal of the Christian life? Raise your hand if you want to know it. What's the goal of the Christian life? Most people. Some people didn't raise their hand. Okay. You don't want to know? You're going to hate this next part. Boring. The goal of the Christian life is to respond to God's call. And we are called to trust him and have the faith to take risks for him. Now, but just as quickly as Peter was above the water, he began to sink. Let's read the rest of the story. Matthew 14, start in verse 30. We're going to end in 33. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him and looked him right in the eyes and said, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? Verse 32, when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. Peter's flaw was that he let his eyes focus on the swirling waters around him and not remain fixed on Jesus. He doubted that Jesus was bigger. He doubted that Jesus was more. Have you ever done the same thing before, church? I'm first in line. The struggle with fear is this. It does not have a very long shelf life if you have faith. Now, the struggle with faith is it also does not have a very long shelf life. See, many of us try to live off of recycled faith. Oh, yeah, I had faith back in the 90s. I had faith back in the 80s, right? And with the revivals and all the things. And I had faith like 10 years ago, and I had faith and faith. Others try to live on someone else's faith. My auntie, my uncle, my grandma, my grandpa, my cousin, my neighbor, my husband, my wife, my children, whatever. They had faith, and I'm living off their faith. And many try to live on yesterday's faith. Church, where's your fresh faith? Amen. If we don't take time to nurture a vibrant trust in God daily, and if we don't walk in today's faith through today's obedience, we're going to lose our faith buoyancy. We're going to begin to sink in the fears of the storms of life. Now, personally, my wife and I, we've been proud of our faith in Jesus. It's guided us through our lives individually and also in our marriage. In some ways, and sometimes, we felt like it's unshakable. However, through COVID, division, people's opinions, my wife's multiple surgeries in the past 5 years, people we love and have prayed for turning their back on us. And in the last year, a close family member going through a big divorce, we have felt the winds and the waves of life like never before. There's been much heartache, painful experiences, long nights, many tears, times you feel like you're just surviving. Then other times you wonder, when is this season going to end? I need a new one. You find your eyes shifting from Jesus to the waves of fear and the waves of uncertainty. Church life was never promised to be easy. And life gets notably more difficult when you step out of the boat in faith. It does. It gets harder. The waves are closer and the wind is louder. But church, Jesus is there. Jesus is not on the boat. Come on now. Jesus is in the waves. I wrote, come on now. God gave me that this morning while I was praying and studying. Now, maybe, church, you felt your eyes shifting and moving from Jesus to the painful situation you find yourself in right now, or the painful season that you're in right now, or the sickness or the disease or the heartache or the brokenness or the whatever's happened. You'd be wise to respond the way that Peter did. Save me, Lord! Save me, God! Save me! See, that's the proper response in faith. There's no shame in reaching out for Jesus to rescue you, church. He is our ever-present help in the time of need. The key is to keep your eyes on Jesus, because he's the only one, who provides the power to live a full life in faith. Once Jesus and Peter are back on the boat, the waters calm down, and the disciples, then they worship him. And they say, "You're the Son of God." Peter already knew that. And Peter already did something about that. There's always going to be people watching. There's always going to be people in the boat. Church, you may not walk on water, but we do walk through tough situations. We do. That's real. If we focus on the waves of difficulty and circumstances around us without looking to Jesus for help, we too may fall into despair and sink. Today, I believe Jesus has given each of us the same invitation he gave to Peter, to leave the comfort and the security of the boat and step out into the waters with audacious faith to see the power of God work in and through your life in amazing ways. Amen. How? I don't know. That's between you and God. I ain't got that answer. There's always going to be waves and winds and distractions from Christ. Always. But if you keep your eyes on him, there's no telling what you can do with your faith over your fear. You got two choices in life, church. You can allow your life to be controlled by your fear, or you can take control of your fears and live by faith. Brent, will you please come? Church, if you're going through something right now, I want you to stand to your feet, wherever you're at. Go, go, go. Stand to your feet. You're going through something right now. Amen. You got a storm in your life. You got a trial. You got some fear. Church, many of us know Jesus as Savior and Provider. But don't forget, he is also Protector and Shepherd. He will protect you while he leads you. God's presence is enough, for he is with you. Have courage and do not be afraid. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me, and they comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. The great need of this hour, church, is believers having faith over fear. So it's time to get out of the boat. Trust Jesus, and he's going to work it out.